John, reading from chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. You shall be set free." And from Paul's letter, second letter, to the Corinthians. I'm reading from chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Herein is good news. Praise be to God. I'd like to invite Shannon Middleton to join me. Shannon was telling me she's very nervous. And I assured her that there are no nerves in this room with all of us here. Shannon, we need a mic for you. It just occurs to me. Oh, no. Everyone likes to be shy about mics. But I just wear mine. It just fits. Okay. There you are.
Thank you.
So I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. Shannon has been appointed by our congregation and has been representing us through the truth and reconciliation process that has been in place for some time. And she attended an event in May in order to further and help deepen our awareness of the process of the truth and reconciliation that is going on between the First Peoples, Indigenous Peoples of Canada, and our country. The United Church has had a very active role in the process of truth and reconciliation and has been working very hard at sorting out what the definition of that means for us and how best, as Paul's letter to the Second Corinthians invites us, to be part of a ministry of reconciliation. So in order to support the conversation going forward, Susan and I invited Shannon to respond to three questions in order to help give some focus to the experience. And so Shannon, it is so good you're here. And I know there's been quite a journey leading you to be where you are with us this morning. So I think the first question that we'd like to hear from you about is, what is it that led you to be interested to attending the Truth and Reconciliation event, which was back in May?
So I grew up here in Alberta. I grew up in Cochrane, so you know that's really close to Morley. So in my younger days, I did have some interactions with First Nations people, but not really. And to be quite frank, most of us were scared of them in school. And so I grew up with all of the myths and all of the bias that some Canadians have. Until about 6 years ago, I started working in a domestic violence shelter for women and children. Should I move away from you?
You just pull it down a little bit, Ray.
Okay, sorry.
Lower the level and bring it closer to you.
Oh, closer?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
So yes, that's when I first started meeting some First Nations mothers and their children. And I began hearing the real stories, not the stories that I heard growing up. And I realized that I didn't learn their stories in school. I didn't learn their stories from my peers. And I certainly didn't learn their stories from the adults in my life who could have taught me the truth, but probably didn't know them either. So I started taking some Aboriginal awareness classes, and I began to learn the truth. And I felt a great deal of shame for not knowing, for the history of the settlers, and I knew I needed to do something different with my life. So I still work with the homeless population in Calgary, and I see racism on a daily basis. And so when this weekend came up, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to enhance my knowledge and find ways that I could bring that knowledge to the community to try and promote living in right relations and healing. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just want to say wow, because I think you've just captured what I assume is the experience for most of us.
Yeah.
And have named that so beautifully.
Thank you.
So I guess when we engage cross-culturally, when we move into the territory of that defines a new relationship, And I can only imagine that the event that you attended was very much about that. It really was about gently walking on to the territory of many cultures that are represented across the First Nations Indigenous peoples in this land called Canada. And I wonder if it's possible for you to share with us what is it about that experience, attending that event, that touched you the most?
Well, seeing so many different people from all walks of life, all ages, so passionate and so committed to this cause, it was really inspiring. Some had been doing this work for a really long time, and some, like myself, it was kind of their first little toe dip into all of the work that needs to be done. And the people who had the least experience really affected me the most, really seeing the change in them through the weekend, the impact that the exercises had on them. You could really see the shifts, like I saw in myself those years ago, in their mindsets about what they thought they knew about the First Nations people. And it was really powerful. I also got to hear some incredible stories shared by the First Nations people in the groups. And the small setting that we had was really unlike any of the seminars or classes I had ever been to, because you really got to see people so raw and so authentic. And it was inspiring. One of the things I brought away myself that was the most memorable from a First Nations woman when we were talking about living into right relations, she said, as imperfect as it is, we will build a foundation on it. And their forgiveness and their resiliency was really remarkable. And I think that's what touched me the most was the shame and the guilt of some of the people there, but the forgiveness from the First Nations people and just their eagerness to, okay, it happened. What do we do now? Mm-hmm. Let's move on.
So moving on, you know, my experience is that once we're touched by something that moves and deepens our awareness, and it would not be uncommon to have an emotional response to the story, which is a difficult one. And I think one of the challenges that we have is once we are touched by something that moves us so deeply or changes our perspective on how we see the world, the challenge is then, how do we integrate that in such a way that it makes a difference? So part of that integration, I think, is how we integrate within ourselves. But then it's also about how do we bring that awareness to the wider circle? And so my question is, having had some time to sit with this experience, what do you see differently now? And that may be how you see your work, how you see your community around you, and how, having had the experience of this weekend, that changes your eyes.
It's really interesting that you bring up eyes, but I'm going to save that till the end.
Good.
That's my punch.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we spoke a lot during the weekend about what our roles would be, what it looks like now that we're witnesses. And we decided that we would define being a witness as someone who has seen something and needs to report on it. And so I see that role every day since the weekend, especially over the Canada's 150 celebration this weekend. And I use the holiday as an opportunity to talk about how our country's history started long before Confederation, seeing opportunities for conversation, seeing opportunities for education wherever you can without being too much. It's about having those awkward conversations and to stop the myths and judgments that I hear every day and start getting involved, especially at my work. When I walk to my office downtown and I see First Nations people on the street, I remember the elder on our weekend, his name was Charles Wood, saying, when you see the, and I'm using a quote, drunken Indian on the street, I want you to remember the stories you heard this weekend and think of ways to promote living into right relations. So I use these times as an opportunity to share what I learned with my coworkers, or if I'm alone, just for a moment to reflect and to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to share what I've learned and to make things right. I wish that everyone could have had the chance to experience what I did that weekend. I feel if everyone could have had their eyes open the way I did, then how could everyone not want to do everything they could to fix it? How could people not be rioting in the streets? How could people not just be screaming from the rooftops about the injustice and want to fix it? I've always wanted to be the person to get involved and to do something, but I've never had the confidence to do it. And this weekend gave me that confidence. In fact, it made it my duty, really. One of the First Nations men in our group shared what it meant to him to be a witness, and he told us that on the reserve, because of the state things were in, that he couldn't be a witness because they were still living it. He told us that he just wants to give his grandchildren happy eyes and asked us to just do what you can. We appreciate it. And that's all I want to do, is I want to do everything I can to give his grandchildren happy eyes.
happy eyes and sad eyes all at the same time. It's a mix, isn't it?
It is.
And I'm thinking, you know, it's so important to name the emotional response that is part of your experience and to create room here for the tears. Because it's my awareness, as we do more and more of this work, it's really about gently and carefully creating room for the emotions. Because I don't know that as a country or even as a continent, we've allowed room for tears, for the lament, for plumbing the depths of how the relationships between First Nations Indigenous people and the immigrants over the last century or two have gone wrong. And I think that allowing room for the emotions is not about guilt as much as it is allowing room for the right relationship to appear.
Right.
We need to have our tears. All of us. Recognizing that this is a gentle conscience raising, awareness making process.
That's right.
Which is what we call reconciliation.
Yeah.
So I'm deeply appreciating the room that you allow just for your feelings to surface. Because, you know, we don't have a really good relationship with emotions in our culture. We tend to just push them away or leave them over there somewhere. And recognizing as human beings, you know, Micah and I were just chatting over breakfast. Why can't we just be better humans? It's the question that we're, this is our breakfast conversation, folks. It's,
so you know, happy for the morning. Yeah.
But it's Sunday and we're getting ready to be with our people. And what if reconciliation is really just about helping raise an awareness around what it means for us to just be better humans? Then we start to have happy eyes.
We do, yes.
Shannon, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What a gentle, beautiful presence and a gift that you've brought to us this morning for us to ponder over the summer. And I know that we're going to advance this conversation over the coming weeks and months.
Wonderful.
You've just helped us begin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Bless
you. You're welcome.